you so much for tuning in to another episode of Jason Rants, The Leftovers. This is the show after the show, a podcast, because I'm not done talking. I couldn't fit everything into my own show. And you would think that someone who has control over the pacing and story selection that I would, you know, do everything on air that I intended to. Oh, but you would be mistaken, because sometimes I end up talking too much about something that I got really passionate about, to the point where I skipped over a blog post that I have over at ktth.com that I do hope you will check out. And it has everything to do with the drug crisis response plan coming from the Bob Ferguson campaign. And I was looking at it, sort of scratching my head, thinking, well, you addressing the drug crisis is kind of like calling an arsonist to put out a fire that he started. Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Not even a little bit. And I say that because I have a pretty good memory. I'm not always perfect. I'm a talk show host. I'm always perfect. But you know what I mean. Sometimes, every once in a while, you know, I maybe miss one small detail. Oh, with Bob Ferguson, I quite remember clearly that he did an interview, and I remember it was with KUOW, another radio station, where he was the one, arguably he was the first big voice in the state to call for drug decriminalization. And it happened after the state Supreme Court ridiculously and in the most partisan way declared the felony possession law unconstitutional because it assumed that a person who had drugs on them knew that they had drugs on them. Because who amongst us has not reached out into our pant pocket and pulled out, you know, a dime bag? So that happens. And the state legislature has now the duty at that point, this is back in 2020, they had the duty to address this with a new law. They only had to change one word in the law. They just had to say knowingly. If you knowingly possessed, it would be a felony. But they got some pushback from people like Bob Ferguson. He spoke to KOW and said at the time, "I'm hoping the next step is for Washington to change course and move away from a war on drugs that has utterly failed and try a new approach. And that new approach is to eliminate the criminal penalties associated with possessing a non-commercial amount of drugs. And I'm hopeful that the state will take that bold but necessary step." Now, at the time that he said that, he was predicting that if Democrats actually did what he wanted them to do, that we would see nothing but success. It would be a huge success. He said, "But I suspect in 5 years, 10, 15 years, other state officials will be supportive of what I think will happen here in Washington." We didn't have to wait that long to figure out what was happening here in Washington. We didn't have to wait long at all, because it happened almost immediately. Almost immediately, where you had people flooding our streets with drugs that were coming in from the cartels in Mexico, who had local dealers, who had local middlemen who was getting the drugs to the dealers, and then bam, flooded our streets. And we saw a historic number of overdose deaths. King County hit the hardest, most densely populated area, but they hit a record high for the last several years. I mean, their record highs were already going up to records before the official state decriminalization, because back in 2018, then prosecutor Dan Satterberg essentially decriminalized by refusing to prosecute for drug cases. And what we saw as a result were a whole bunch of people who didn't have to die, died. We saw a whole bunch of people who were not addicts become addicts. We saw some people who were dabbling become horrific addicts. We saw kids who thought they were taking a Percocet or something, or an Oxy, not realizing that it was cut with fentanyl, ends up dying of a fatal overdose. That is what happened. We did not see success. In fact, quite the opposite. Not only did we see failures, it forced the hands of Democrats. Even Democrats had to walk back their intent. Now, they haven't done it fully enough, and unfortunately, the law is not really being applied for the most part, certainly not in King County. But at least they took a step in the right direction. So please tell me, Bob Ferguson, why I should look to you and think you can address the crisis that you helped to create. He won't even come out and acknowledge that he was wrong to push for drug legalization. Instead, he pretends that he never did it to begin with. And he does that because he knows he can get away with it. He knows that local media outlets who think he's the favorite to win, and he is the favored candidate to win, but they believe that if they speak out against him, they'll be treated the way that Jay Inslee treated media outlets that disagreed with him, which was just ice them out. Because we live in a one-party state, unfortunately, which means they have the pick of the litter. They can go to whatever media outlet they want and know that they'll get positive spin, because if they don't, all they have to do is say, okay, well, then you're no longer getting access to the governor or any leaks. We're not going to give you a heads up on stories because you're not playing ball. I'll go over to insert another, you know, TV outlet or newspaper. That's how it works. It gives a lot of power to people who are already powerful and already abusing their power. But let's go over some details of his plan. Because he said that he would offer, in what he calls a crisis response plan, he would offer more resources to combat drug trafficking and improved treatment options for individuals. He says all of this will be funded through a settlement with drug companies from the opioid crisis. The current Washington Attorney General said that he's going to fund a, quote, increase for multi-jurisdictional drug task forces. And I thought to myself, really, Mr. Attorney General, that's odd, because didn't you try to partially defund those task forces just a few months ago? Because I remember that story too, which is precisely what he did. So not only has he been pushing for the decriminalization of drugs, but according to a report from King 5's Jake Wittenberg, he tried to cut funding to some task forces meant to go after the drug crisis. Every year, the Washington State Department of Commerce allocates federal funding from the Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant. Say that quickly. They have about $3 million that helps fund the operating budgets for 16 active task forces across the state. King 5 reported that Ferguson, quote, wants some of the grant money to be spent on election worker security. So in other words, less money being spent on the drug crisis, more money being spent on an invisible threat to election workers. He did that because, well, like so many other Democrats, he wanted to use this boogeyman of MAGA supporters to claim some sort of widespread threat against election workers, because he wants you to think all Trump supporters believe the election was stolen and they're dangerous and they're looking for ways to prove it. And because they're so dangerous and angry, they're threatening election workers. Yeah, there are some threats, sure. As I recall, the last one where there was so-called fentanyl, it wasn't actually fentanyl, being sent to some workers who were tallying the election results, it quoted Antifa stuff, so it might have been an Antifa person, or at least someone impersonating one. But he said in his plan that he's all about funding these task forces. Why didn't you want to fund them when you weren't officially running for governor? Why is that? Because this is someone who believes in the decriminalization of drugs, and if you think it's going to be any different, you're going to have a different voice pushing back against these kinds of policies in the governor's mansion, if you go with Bob Ferguson, yeah, you are absolutely delusional. This is a guy who's always been laser focused on becoming governor. This has always been a guy who abused the office of attorney general as a political arm for his inevitable future campaign. And he decided to stake positions that he could run on. He was just waiting. All he was waiting for was Governor Jay Inslee to call it quits. And so he staked out these positions of going after cops, of embracing the drug culture. Back in 2020, when no one knew at the time that there was going to be such a significant flip-flop, It seemed because, and I was covering this at the time, doing a lot of it on TV and radio. It seemed at the time that this was with us to stay, this movement. And yet, 3 years later, it's gone. There's some remnants, sure, but the movement itself is gone and people change their view. No longer do they want to defund. No longer do they want to legalize. And that's not just true of Washington State. Look at Oregon and Measure 110, which decriminalized drugs and was an equal disaster. They overturned that. They rescinded it. Again, they didn't go far enough, but they went in the right direction. Now, for Bob Ferguson, he didn't think there would be a flip, so he was very clear to stake his position. He was, quote, one of you progressives. Now, I have no idea if he believes in decriminalization or he believes in a more tough on drug use policy. I don't know where he stands personally. I know where he stands publicly, but privately, I have no idea. Because this is a guy who is the equivalent of that like 13-year-old that you met who told you at that point, I'm going to become president. He's basically that version, but just not president, more like governor. And thus, every position that he's taken seems to be all about advancing his career. That's why he flip-flops on a dime. But it would have been impossible to see two tectonic shifts in public opinion happen so close to one another. The tectonic shift in favor of BLM to the tectonic shift in blaming BLM. He never thought it was going to flip so quickly. I didn't. You didn't. And so that allowed him to lean into the BLM movement, thinking to himself, ooh, this is perfect for those Seattle voters. And sure, at the time that he was staking out his positions, it earned him some social currency. As he wants to play the literal white knight, it earned him some social currency. Because at the time, the public wanted to defund and decriminalize. And yet, that's not the case anymore, which is why he's pivoting. And he's going to continue to pivot until you actually call him out on it in a significant way. So feel free to call him out by just tweeting at him or go to my website, ktth.com, click on the story, and then share it. Share it on social media channels, send it to friends and family members, text it, email it, whatever. But you got to get some eyeballs on this because he is very beatable. The polls back that up right now. It's not going to be easy, but he is very beatable. And all he's doing, oddly enough, is highlighting the fact that he's running against a sheriff who is very popular and known for being bipartisan, reaching across the aisle when necessary. That's all that this does is remind people, oh, wait, I care about this issue, and I know you've been a disaster. You're running against a former King County sheriff that I've heard of and like. Oh, okay, thanks for making my vote easy. Which is precisely how people should be reacting to this. Now, whether that's going to be the reality, I don't know. I always seem to think that you'll eventually see things the right way, not be blinded by ideology, but doesn't always work out that way. Meanwhile, I was about to criticize Israel today, which I don't do very often because usually what I'm exposed to are the anti-Semites who don't believe Israel has the right to exist. But I also believe in being consistent. And I saw a headline telling me that today Benjamin Netanyahu barred, due to being a security risk, a very specific media outlet across the board for harming Israel's security, actively participating in the October 7th terrorist attack, and inciting violence against IDF soldiers. And I was like, ooh, wait, what are we talking about, Al Jazeera? Yep, we're talking about Al Jazeera. It's based in Qatar. It is to the region what Russia Today was. It's RT, except it's just about hating Jews in Israel. And people who cite Al Jazeera, people who use it as a source for anything, including just a tweet, unless you're calling it out because of their shoddy journalism, the people who do that, who shill for Al Jazeera, including every single one of their reporters, every single one of them, they are extremists. They are the fringes. They're the ones that don't like Jews. Certainly don't like Israel. So Netanyahu said in a speech, it was in Hebrew, so I'll just read it. The terrorist channel Al Jazeera will no longer broadcast from Israel. I intend to make immediate action in accordance with the new law to halt the channel's activities. The way I didn't have any objection to getting rid of RT, I have no problem with this move getting rid of Al Jazeera, because it very clearly is about protecting people, ending propaganda, than it is about silencing someone's rights. They don't have a First Amendment. They have rights around speech, but they don't have a First Amendment in Israel. And I know that the second that any government agency, including those in other countries, start talking about banning any kind of media, I understand that there's a slippery slope there. I do. In this case, it feels like the slippery slope might be worth it. Al Jazeera is a dumpster heap. And so kudos for Netanyahu for doing this. Thank you so much for listening. In fact, kudos for listening. I'll see you tomorrow.